Hello, I'm David Harper with the BBC News. More than 100,000 Israelis have been holding protests against judicial reforms for the 13th consecutive week. They gathered in spite of a pause in the lawmaking process announced in recent days. Here's our Middle East regional editor, Sebastian Usher.
The danger hasn't passed. The Israeli opposition leader, Yair Lapid, has warned as he joined around 150,000 of his fellow Israelis for the latest demonstration in Tel Aviv. Protest organisers have delivered the same message, essentially saying they don't trust the government to stick to the pause in the process, which has allowed for discussions to begin on trying to reach a compromise. They fear that legislation to give the government control over judicial appointments could still be brought to a vote imminently. Despite the apparent concession by Benjamin Netanyahu earlier this week, the deep rift in Israeli society shows no sign of being healed.
The authorities in several US states have been assessing the damage caused by severe storms and tornadoes across the South and the Midwest. At least 21 people have been confirmed dead following Friday's powerful storms. Nicholas Rosher reports.
The storms caused devastation across wide areas of half a dozen states. Pictures show debris from trees and rubbish of all sorts strewn on streets that only a couple of days ago were clean and orderly. The states hardest hit were Tennessee, Arkansas and Illinois, which accounted for more than half the deaths. Electricity companies said more than 700,000 customers had lost power by mid-afternoon on Saturday. Meteorologists have forecast further storms, with damaging winds and an isolated tornado possible for parts of the northeast.
President Zelensky has described as absurd Russia's assumption of the rotating presidency of the UN Security Council. The death in Russian shelling of a five-month-old Ukrainian boy, hours before Russia started to chair the council, he said, proved the total bankruptcy of such institutions. Mr. Zelensky added it was time for their general overhaul. The month-long presidency is largely ceremonial, although it oversees the agenda. A delegation from South Africa's governing ANC is in Moscow for talks with representatives of Russia's largest political party. The ANC said the talks follow an invitation from United Russia, a party it described as a long-standing ally and friend. Ben Lowings reports.
The African National Congress media office said the delegation in Moscow was being led by its national executive member, Comrade Obed Bepela. The statement went on to say the talks would consider the recalibration of the global order. It specified this was to reverse the consequences of neocolonialism and what it called the prevailing unipolar world. South Africa has not condemned Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Earlier this year, it took part in a joint military exercise with Russia and China. Moscow has been trying to bolster its political and economic ties with African countries.
World News from the BBC. The abbot of Ukraine's most important monastery, the Kiev-Pechersk Lavra, has been placed under house arrest for 2 months after being detained on suspicion of backing Russia's armed aggression against Ukraine. The security services also suspect Metropolitan Pavel Liebed of inciting religious hatred. He will have to remain in a village southwest of Kiev and wear an electronic bracelet. Public health officials in the Netherlands are warning of the risks of housing asylum seekers on disused cruise ships after completing a scientific analysis of a large typhoid outbreak on one last year. They traced the outbreak, which infected 72 people on the Liberty Anne, to contaminated drinking water. The Foreign Office in London says it is trying to find out what has happened to three British men who've been detained by the Taliban secret police in Afghanistan. Scott Richards, a spokesman for the Presidium Network, a British-based non-profit organisation that's been supporting the families of the two detainees, say they have no legal representation or access to consular officials. Boxing, and the former world heavyweight champion Britain's Anthony Joshua has defeated his American opponent Jermaine Franklin in London. Joshua's victory was by unanimous decision after 12 rounds. The win followed two consecutive defeats by Ukraine's Oleksandr Usyk, which was Joshua's first non-world title fight since 2015. Yusuf Anani reports.
This was the first step in Anthony Joshua's rebuilding process after his losses to Ukraine's Oleksandr Usyk. The boxing world was eager to see what improvements Joshua may have made after relocating to the United States to work with his new trainer, Derek James. In the end, it was a dominant but disjointed performance. By failing to get the knockout victory he craved against an unheralded opponent, his critics say his days at top level are over. But his supporters say 12 hard rounds under his new trainer are the ideal preparation for another attempt to win world titles.
BBC News.